And the title of my sermon is Discipleship Redefined. Dr. David, you can keep advancing. Dr. David Platt, you may be familiar with that name. He said this: I am convinced that the greatest need in church today is not more money. It is not more power. It is not more prestige. It is not even more people. It is not more education. It is not more political influence. He said, I believe the greatest need in church today is more men, women, and students who live in believing Jesus Christ and have embraced him to rise up and be the disciples that the scripture teaches us to be. How true it is. I am also going to read some passages that we are very familiar with. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, look at that word, hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny. Look at that word. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. 14:33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my discipleship. These are some of the conditions for discipleship. And from this passage, what do we understand? Discipleship is perfectly defined in this passage, following Christ throughout our lives. Nothing less is the life of a disciple. But I would like to redefine the word discipleship. And please look at this. Next slide. So discipleship literally means squeeze to the mold of another. Squeeze to the mold of another. You understand the word squeeze? When we want to pike, to travel, we want to take a lot of stuff. I do piking all the time through the years. I want to take a lot of stuff. What do? In a suitcase, we put all the stuff, we squeeze it. That's the meaning here. We have to be squeezed into the frame of Jesus Christ to be fit in his frame. There's a limit to which we need to be fit in. In our context, the mold is Jesus Christ. We need to be squeezed into the mold of Jesus Christ. To fit into the mold of Jesus Christ, we have to do three things as seen in this passage. One, we have to hate. That's not a good thing, is it? Second, we have to deny. Third, we have to forsake. We are going to look into all these three. Let's start with the hate. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, and himself, he cannot be my disciple. Is this also a command of our Jesus Christ who taught us to love? Is he commanding us to hate people? Hate anything? The word hate is a very Jewish concept. It means I love this so much less than the other. That's the meaning of the word. The Greek word for hate means to love less by comparison. God said, I love Jacob and hate Esau. Did he really hate Esau? He's telling us, I love Jacob more than I love Esau. That is the meaning. A parallel passage is found in Matthew 10:37, which gives us clarity. Clarity of the word hate. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Did you see that? What does Jesus say? And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Did you understand the meaning of the word hate? Look at that more than me expressions. What is Jesus asking us to do? What does he want us to do? Love
Jesus more than anyone else. That's the meaning. Love Jesus more than anyone else. And the next slide will tell us a disciple must always love his God more than he loves anyone else. I told you the story of a young man with the name Hari in Nepal, whom his father said, if you love Jesus, you can leave. If you love us, you can stay. You give up Jesus, you can stay here. But he said, I must love Jesus. And he left the home. He left the home. I believe that's the true discipleship. That's what Jesus wants us to know and learn from this passage. Next slide says, we miss the mark. Please note this. We miss the mark when we put our children's development athletically, intellectually, culturally, artistically, socially, before their spiritual well-being. Their spiritual well-being. Disciples are the best lovers of God and family and friends. When we, the more you love God, the more you will be able to love your family, children, and fellow Christians. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to love God more so that God will give us the ability to love our family, children, and our fellow Christians. Love God more than you love anyone else. It's mandatory to fit into the frame of Jesus Christ. It is the proof of discipleship. Let's go to the next word. Jesus said, you have to deny yourself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What does it mean? Deny himself. Me denying myself. It means we have to deny our carnal nature, self-life, the old man. There's a lot of carnality in us. It's true we are people who are in the church, but there is a lot of carnality within us, the old nature within us. Jesus wants our old nature to be crucified. Some of our passions be crucified. That's what Jesus says. How can self-life be terminated? How can our old nature be terminated? How can our old sinful nature be crucified? It says it can be terminated only when we crucify ourselves. A cross is, next slide please. A cross is given to us when we accept. A cross is given to us, next slide. A cross is given to us when we accept Christ. This is to crucify our old nature. It can be some of our struggles, our disability, our sufferings. We do not know. I cannot say what is your cross. And my cross, I know. Those crosses given to us so I can be more and more submissive to the nature and the will of Jesus Christ. Crucify my own old nature. The cry of a disciple is always to crucify me. Crucify me. Where there is no cross, where there is no internal cross, there is no Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but he lives in me. That's the crucifixion Jesus Christ is talking about. And the next slide will tell whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. You know what is the cross for? The cross is an instrument of execution. Crucifixion ends the life of a person. So also we should crucify our carnal nature. The old nature needs to be crucified. And discipleship is a series of death. Dying every day a little bit. Is a series of death. That's what discipleship is. Dying a little bit every day. Less frequency of sin in our life. We become more and more like to the image of Christ. It's a perpetual dying. Discipleship is a perpetual dying. You are dying every day. We know cancer. We know cancer. It eats up a little bit every day until you die. That's the way discipleship is. Eating up our old nature a little bit. Dying each day a little bit. Perpetually dying. Dying every day until this old nature is subdued. Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. It means we should crucify our self-life to fit into the frame of Christ. That is the true proof of discipleship. Let's go to the third, and I will conclude. The third word Jesus Christ used is here. Forsake all that he has. What does it mean? Forsake all that he has. Jesus is talking about our attitude to material possession. It is nothing wrong about our possessions, what we have, nothing wrong. But our attitude to material possession is more important in this passage. Next slide will tell us our attitude to material possession has great influence in the quality of our discipleship. Our attitude to material possession proves the quality of our discipleship. And a disciple is one who has no sense of possession. I stay in homes. So many homes I stayed in this country. The people give me all kinds of stuff to use. But when I leave that home, I don't pack those things in my bag. Why? Because they don't belong to me. It was given to me for use. That is the way we should view the wealth and our possessions. We don't own them. God owns. We are good stewards. It is given to us for us to use. So there is nothing to fight about the material things in this world. Because they are not going to stay with us all the time. They don't belong to us, just given to us for our use. I do not have a sense of loss when I leave the home because in the first place, I did not have a sense of possession. When we don't have a sense of possession, when something we lose, we are not bitter. Because they did not belong to us in the first place. God owns it all. Praise God, you have given me this. I use it for God's glory. When it is gone, it is gone. I am not going to be permanent here. One day I will kick the bucket and leave. And we see Jesus face to face there. A disciple is one who has no sense of possession. When money or things it can buy makes us hesitant about doing what we feel the Lord is calling us to do, we are disciples of things and not of Christ. If something strikes my heart. When money or things it can buy makes us hesitant about doing what we feel the Lord is calling us to do, we are disciples of things and not of Christ. One test of true discipleship is what we do with our money. And you know it. Regardless of our income, if we are not giving regularly and generously, we are not living as Christ's disciples. And let me close by saying that discipleship involves hate, less affection for others, more affection for Jesus. Deny less affection for ourselves, more affection for Jesus. Forsake less affection for our possession, more affection to Jesus. And at the conclusion, a question I want to ask, a true disciple of Jesus Christ is the one who fits in the mold of Christ, in the frame of Christ. Want to choose the will of God over everything else. Our love for others, love for ourselves, love for what we have should surpass the love we have for Jesus Christ. People who are persecuted in countries like India, they give up everything, they are displaced, they go through agony, they go through suffering, they go through torture because they have counted the love for Jesus is greater than the love that they have for anything else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a sign of a true disciple.
The last question, are we the disciples of Christ in the true sense of the word? Are we the disciples of Christ in the true sense of the word? I hope and pray that you will continue to pray for India, for the new converts who came from Muslim background, from Buddhist background, Hindu background. We have students who are disowned by family, do not have two nickels to rub together because they don't have any money, nobody to support. They want to do ministry. They want to study in Bible college, go into the mission field and get see that the people get saved. Pray for those people who are being persecuted for the sake of the gospel and help them, the Lord help them to be standing as true disciples at the cost of anything they have. Please pray for the people converted in India and Nepal that they can be true disciples till Jesus comes. And they will become an example of the crucifixion of what they love and what they have. And thank you so much for this great, great opportunity. I love it. You were so attentive. Thank you. And I can feel that you are looking at me because you need to listen carefully. Only then you know you get me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody. Shall we say hallelujah one more time? Hallelujah! To God be the glory. Hallelujah.